I was in the mountains of Colorado this past week for the wedding of Kip Curtis. He has worked as a focused missionary here at Newman for the past 5 years. So please keep Kip and his new bride, Mary, in your prayers. It was a beautiful wedding. While I was out there, I did a little hiking in the mountains. There's something good and holy about gaining a perspective on the world from on top of a mountain. One sees the beauty of creation. One sees the breadth of the horizon. And it can help to put our personal problems into a bigger perspective. And I just hiked up the short mountains. Our Savior Jesus Christ didn't ascend Long's Peak or even Mount Everest. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He ascended, as our second reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians states, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age, but in the age to come. And God the Father put all things beneath his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now, Christ didn't need a new perspective on the world. But through his ascension, you and I can gain one. Because we can wonder sometimes why evil seems to win. We can wonder why we struggle with sin, why we struggle with faith, why the kingdom isn't here now. Today's feast reminds us that Jesus is absolutely above any and every evil that can be found in this world. And where he has gone, we hope to follow. From his perspective at the right hand of the Father, he doesn't just see the struggle of you and me, or the struggle of Missouri or the United States. He sees the struggle of all the world. And he desires all the world to be saved and come to know him. His perspective is universal. There are two other things that I think are helpful to point out from this gospel today. First, Jesus says that the way he desires to bring about the salvation of the whole world is by sending his Spirit upon his disciples. He says, "You will be clothed with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." God's plan of salvation doesn't happen by force or coercion. Jesus ascended to heavenly power and authority, but he exercises that authority on earth through his Spirit that he gives to those who love him. You and me. He exercises his desire to save all people through his Holy Spirit working through you and me. So the question becomes, are we more concerned about advancing whatever little kingdom I've made for myself here on earth rather than advancing the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ? Preparing for the kingdom of Christ and praying for the kingdom of Christ, right? Thy kingdom come. That's an essential part of being Christian. Secondly, notice that when Jesus ascends to the Father, he doesn't immediately send the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. He makes them wait for 10 days. Does he just like to play games with us? What is up with that? I want to say, I think the reason for the delay is similar to the reason for his ascension without immediate second coming. During those 10 days of waiting, we're told that the apostles returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Those 10 days were days of praising God for the gift of the Holy Spirit that he was about to bestow. And they were days of longing for God to bestow that gift that they knew he would bestow. Those 10 days of waiting weren't empty. The hearts and minds of the apostles were stretched and stretched and stretched, and thereby prepared for the gift that they would receive. By making them wait for 10 days, they had more capacity, more receptivity for the Spirit than if they hadn't waited at all. When we celebrate today the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father, it reminds us that Jesus is still sending his Holy Spirit upon his church today. That Holy Spirit will come and fill the hearts of our first communicants, fill the heart and soul of our baptizand. Because he sends his Spirit still today, because there's still missionary work to be done today. Whether that missionary work is in China or here in our own backyard, or maybe in our very own hearts. The ascension is about the patience of God in desiring more conversions and deeper conversions. The ascension is about the plan of God to extend the saving ministry of Christ through you and me to reach to the ends of the world. The apostles spent those 10 days with great joy, continually praising and longing for the working of the Holy Spirit. How are we spending our days between the ascension of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit? Between the ascension of Christ and his second coming? Joy is, I think, the most characteristic aspect of the Christian life. Do we remember to choose joy each day, to live joyfully each day? If we're missing joy in our life, maybe it's because we've stopped longing for the risen and ascended Christ to fill us with his Holy Spirit. You might say, my life is a mess, and the world's a mess. How can I be joyful? We can be joyful because Christ has ascended far above every mess in this world. And where he has gone, we, his body, are sure to follow. We can be joyful because we know that the messes of this world are not the end and will never be the end. So here's the homework for the week. Every day this week, long for and be thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. And choose to be joyful, not because everything is perfect, but because the resurrection and ascension of Christ is so very real.